If there's one thing I'd like to see change that I think would wipe out misandry and feminism, it's simply for every man to realise that where hatred of men is concerned, every individual man is the star of the show. Not an extra, not a spectator, not a bystander. I've talked before about how men are disconnected from each other, and even themselves, and is the reason why they tolerate everything about men and manhood being torn down and ground into dust, while they either assist in their own destruction or stand aside and look. Men will believe that men used to legally beat their wives with a cane. They'll believe that men used to rape their wives. They'll believe positively anything about what men used to do to women with the magical refrain of, in the past.
I just don't think I could to be a married woman and give up all my assets to a man who was legally allowed to beat me and rape me and whom I couldn't divorce.
Men will also believe anything negative about men in the Middle East and the Far East and Africa and South America and Antarctica and the North Pole. Anywhere that's outside of about a dozen nations which feminists have labelled less bad than elsewhere for poor, innocent women. But even in the mainstream, we have Germaine Greer saying that fathers sexualise their daughters and that, effectively, any man would rape given a chance. Slurs like this against men are clearly obscene, and yet they're said as frequently and casually as if these women are talking about the weather, and men accept it just as readily. That's why a few short weeks after her inexcusable abuse of men on national television, Dear Germaine was back on the air. Well, I don't accept these unwarranted slurs against men, and for a very simple reason. And the reason is, I take it personally. I don't mean in an overly emotional sense, nor in the feminist sense of making the personal political. I mean in the good old-fashioned empathetic sense. I put myself in place of the other men they're maligning. I imagine that the other man they're talking about is me. When women talk of imaginary abuse suffered in the past at the hands of our brutal fathers and grandfathers, I put myself in those men's shoes. Is that what I would do? Is that what anyone I know would have done? It's not some other faceless man from some other nameless country she's talking about. She's talking about me. When you know that you are the one firmly in the spotlight, that the bell tolls for you, it changes everything. It's easy to ignore fingers pointing at someone else, and even weapons pointing at someone else. But not so easy to ignore those fingers pointing at you, and not so easy to ignore those weapons pointing at you. One of the ways it struck me was the British Airways policy of not allowing men to sit next to unaccompanied children. When I saw the story of a man suing BA over this misandric policy, I noticed that the child in question was a 12-year-old boy. I wondered if that boy was old enough to realise that in just a few years he himself would turn 18 and become a man, and then he would be subject to the very same policy. In other words, did that boy realise that the man being forced to move away from him was he himself in a few years' time? Men should understand that the anti-rape poster on the wall is directed right at you, not some other man. The man being told to move away from children is you. One of the abusers of one in four women is you. The man who might spike some women's drink is you. The women marching to take back the night march because of you. You are the danger they chant about. You are the man it's all about. Do you accept it? Are you the rapist, the wife beater, the abuser? The man who would be beating and raping the nearest woman at this very moment if it were not for the laws that tireless, strong, feminist women have fought for. That if only the law allowed it, you'd be at the hardware store right now, purchasing a cane no thicker than the width of your thumb, that you would eagerly be taking home to introduce to your wife's skull. Women believe this history. Women believe this of you. Do you believe it as well? And if it's not true of you, is it true of your family, or friends, or your dad or granddad? Do you believe this of them? If you were born 100 years ago, or 1,000 years ago, or any other time in history these women wail about, do you think that then you'd want to beat your wife, then rape her, then beat her some more, before sitting down to eat your own children? This is basically the feminist narrative, which women accept, describing women's treatment at the hands of men in the past. Or let me rephrase. This is the feminist narrative, which women accept, describing women's treatment at the hands of you in the past. Do you accept that? Get offended. Do something about it and change will come. It needs no further activism beyond not accepting the label of evil. Since I found out about their policy, I don't buy British Airways tickets anymore, which has maybe cost them all of £2,000 over time. Micro money to British Airways. But not if 100,000 men did the same. No emails, no placards, no marches, no speeches. No newspaper articles, no nothing. Except I simply buy my tickets elsewhere. If not too many more men did the same, BA would no longer exist as a company, and everyone would know why. How long do you think misandry would last if even one company fell to a few good men feeling offended? A relatively few men taking it personally? A few men who realise that the other man, two rows up, being told to move away from that child, was actually himself? Of course, it's the easiest solution in the world, yet it may as well be on the moon for the ability of men to reach it. Men like to believe in the other man. Men need to believe in the other man. But it's long past time to stop believing in him. He doesn't exist. The other man is you.